Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are going through the Cafe Book Club. Woohoo! We've got a new book. And oh my gosh, I'm looking a little bit forward here into the next couple weeks that we've got going on. And oh gosh, they're so just jam-packed with all kinds of really wonderful spiritual insights and just real things that you can just take into your life on just right now and have it be something that can make it just that much more positive, that much more wonderful. So tonight we're going to be talking about transforming your thinking and owning the choosing process. And that's in this book called Passion, Spirit, and Purpose by Anna Weber. And we had Anna on last week, which was episode TC315. So really encourage everybody to go back and check that out. And tonight we're going to be, you know, moving into chapters 1 and 2. So just like all the books that we really love and really have a foundation of, you know, getting into just, you know, let's be all on the same page and then be moving forward with a lot of this just new ways of thought and being able to move things forward. So I'm just going ahead and bring my co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight?
Fantastic.
She's always fantastic. I'm so glad about that. So yeah, we're talking about, you know, with Anna, gosh, she was so great last week, just really sharing with us, you know, how she got to write this book and, you know, just a little bit of a backstory on that. She's really dedicating it to her mom. Her mom's turning 100 years old pretty quick here. I think it's in September, right? Yeah, I mean, just right around the corner. So yeah, so just really, really a wonderful thing. And with that, you know, we're really looking at that there's going to be the three formulas for introducing the DOWOX method and the empowering you to love your life. And we're going to talk about DOWOX tonight. And it's really, it's a continual mindset and formula that we really work with throughout the book. So Amy, could you kind of just talk about the DOWOX a little bit and what you think about it?
Yeah, and Anna is a living example of this, and this is her 17th book. She talked about that last week, and that I think this is kind of the heart of everything else that she's done. And so it was very much a given work to her. She talked to her last week about how she had broken her finger and was told not to use it, and the spirit said, "Nope, just kidding." And in a very short period of time, this flowed through. But it's really, I think, more the guidepost of for everything that she's done in her life. So let's look at DOXA separately. And on transformation-cafe.com, you can see a video of Anna actually walking us through what the method is. So I think that, you know, that could be a good thing to look at right from her own mouth. But the DOXA, the D stands for desire. O is outstanding. X is X out the impossible. And A is allow you to be you. So everything that we're going to be looking at in these next 22 chapters is going to help us to make that GPS of our life, I think. I think that's kind of how you could look at this. And having watched her, you know, as a friend and as a person, she really does walk her talk.
Yeah, and, you know, just Amy saying that, 22 chapters, people are like, woo, that seems like a lot of chapters. These are all very small chapters that she wrote, and I really appreciate that she did it that way because they're like, I was talking to Amy before we started about, these are just like nuggets. They're golden nuggets of information and wisdom that if you can really just take a moment to be looking at that, that's one thing that's great about this book. I mean, literally, you could pick it up and within about 5-10 minutes get the gist of each of these different things, but they're all so powerful. They're all also transforming to your life that, you know, she does a really great job of just keeping it basic and simple with each of these concepts and then being able to put them together. So that's the reason why, you know, we're going to have a few nights where next week we're going to be going through chapters 3 through 7 and just being able to take those highlights of all those different things. So part of what we really want to invite everybody to do is to be getting this book and to, you know, start a journal and actually just go through the process as we are. Amy's doing a wonderful job. She's signed on to be creating some questions and exercises for every week, and that's going to be listed on the Transformation Cafe. So it's going to give you an opportunity to be able to even just go back to the website and be able to say, you know, what are these different questions and what are we looking at? So right off the bat, let's go ahead and just start to dive into chapter one, which is talk about the Dowak's method. And there's a really wonderful story that Amy and I, you know, it's one of those spiritual stories that's just been out there forever. But I think it's a really good one to review. And I love coming from beginner's mind with things like that. I'm like, how am I now with a story? And how do I think about that? So it's an old Cherokee teacher was sharing with his grandson about the secrets of life. He said, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the boy. "It is a terrible fight, and it is because two wolves. One is evil. He's angry, envious, sorrowful, regretful, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego," he continued. "But the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, and truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you and inside every other person, too." The grandson thought for a minute. He said, then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee simply smiled and said, "The one you will feed." And I think that's just a really wonderful thing for us to be able to review that and to think about that, because that's really what Anna is talking about in this chapter when it comes to, you know, positive thought and owning the choices that we have. You know, she talked about that last week about, you know, she was kind of having a bad day and they had some problems at her work about, listen, you know, the computers were going weird and all this different kinds of stuff. And she said, okay, wait a minute. I can choose how I want to walk in this minute. I can choose how I want to be able to be experiencing this situation. And she just said they all paused and they just kind of took a break and they went outside and breathed for a couple minutes and just allowed themselves to just refocus on choosing what they wanted to have. And one thing I was asking Amy is like, let's go ahead and go through this choosing process, because there's definitely some steps to go with it. And just like I said, you know, it's one of those golden nuggets that if you get it, it can be something that literally can change your life right now. So, Amy, you want to start with that, and we'll just kind of go from point to point on it?
Well, something that I want to kind of talk about first is authenticity. She talks about it, but what is it really? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we throw that word around, and what is that really?
Especially nowadays, yeah.
Yeah, because she talks about it like we all know what it is, and mm-hmm. I know she knows what it is, but I don't think that most people really do. So I think that could be a good thing to kind of play with, that really what is and how, because the goal, she says, your challenge is to live authentically and genuinely. So I would say that those are probably tied together, being true to who you are, as in the, you know, what is false as opposed to authentic. So in like mm-hmm. an authentic coin versus mm-hmm. a coin that's been made to look like authentic. So I think that's a good question. You know, what is being authentic mean to you? So when I know I'm putting you on the spot, but that's what we do here. What if I say to you, be authentic, what does that mean to you, Rob?
Being authentic to me is really being in a place where I can just speak from my mind, speak from my heart, really speaking from my heart about where I am in this moment, and not worrying about what other people are going to think about that, but just really coming from my own sense of what's true. And to me, that's being authentic.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, for me, really looking at, independent of what other people are saying or doing, what is my truth? I think mm-hmm. authenticity and truth stand next to each other for me, you know, and in not attempting to be somebody else, although mm-hmm. it's okay to have mentors. So anyway, that's going to be an ongoing conversation.
mm-hmm. Yeah, especially I think that would actually be a good thing that we could ask periodically as we're going through the book. Is when it comes to that about being authentic, because as we're, like I said, going through all these really wonderful, you know, concepts and nuggets of just wisdom, how does that you know, roll off into who I am now when it comes to senses of being authentic? I think that's a great exercise of just, you know, continually going back and kind of being able to look at that. Not that necessarily it's going to change, but at least it's a place where we can be reflective about ourselves and just, you know, who am I when it comes to, you know, just everything. I think it makes me think of Bradshaw, you know, the, you know, psychologist that was back in like the 80s and 90s, you know, one of his exercises mm-hmm. is like, you know, who are you? Who are you now? And after a while, you're like, I'm nothing, okay? Because you lose all the story. You lose everything about yourself that, you know, you think everybody else wants to hear. And after a while, you're just like, I'm me, you know? And so I think that's interesting when it comes to being able to be authentic.
Yeah, and I think that'll change as we ask ourselves these questions. So I think let's just kind of keep that in the back of our minds.
In the back pocket, we'll pull that out periodically. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And so she talks about in chapter one about making choices. And she says, with every time we make a choice, our opportunities shift. Some doors mm-hmm. open while others close. And she said, you may start to regret some of your choices. Just remember that other doors opened when you made that choice. And sometimes you can revisit the situation and choose differently. Even if you can't revisit the choice, you have new and exciting possibilities at every moment. Don't let regret weigh at your neck. So I think
I love how she talked about
a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people don't make good choices because they feel like, what's the point? And that that's mm-hmm. possible. But I think it's also marrying it with, let's be honest about, okay, I screwed up. Or I wasn't courageous, or I didn't do the thing I really wanted to do, not from a beating yourself up perspective, but in allowing yourself to be authentic. And sometimes authentic is feeling feelings you don't want to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yingbi's got a magnet on her refrigerator that talks about, you know, well-behaved women never made a difference in the world. Isn't it something? This is something like that. Yeah. So it's that whole thing about my choices of like, you know, am I going to be the status quo? Like we're talking about being authentic. Am I going to be what's approved of, or am I going to be, you know, really listening to mama, what my heart, my soul wants me to be doing? And, you know, maybe being that sandpaper in an environment that isn't necessarily, you know, going to be that, but it's that whispers of change that are just seeking to be out there to have life better and make it, you know, more positive and have it be expansive. So I think that's really kind of what we're talking about when it comes to the choosing processes. So, you know, she talks about choosing in a conscious way. And I love that about, you know, in a conscious way, because a lot of people think, well, you know, yeah, I am, but you know, it's being in this now moment. And, you know, and I always look at that, you know, am I going to be responding or am I going to be reacting? Because to me, in that difference, you know, we definitely have it where, you know, it can be a knee jerk, or I can pause for a second and I can make a choice of how I want to be able to respond to something. And sometimes responding is not doing anything. And I think that was something that I learned a few years ago. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, are you going to do or not do? Well, sometimes it's better to stand back for a second and not do anything. And that's still a response. And so to me, sometimes that's a very conscious response because, you know, I heard it the other day. It's like sometimes making that kind of choice is, you know, doing something courageous in a stupid world. It's pausing and taking a moment of not doing anything. You know, you see all these people reacting when a lot of the different circumstances we've got going on in the world right now. And it makes sense sometimes to be able to like, you know, I could be getting into that whole, you know, group situation where, you know, I get caught up in the flurry of all that stuff. Or I can stand back and just say, that's not me. That's not authentic to how I am. I'm not going to get caught up in that, you know, that energy. I can pause myself and just say, that's not me. So I think that's something to really be able to talk about that. So you know, and we always are talking about breath. And, you know, one of the next pauses is, you know, I can pause a normal routine so I can either, you know, I can stop the reaction and come into a responsive mode and just breathe. Give yourself a chance to just kind of catch up with yourself and figure out, you know, what's really going on here. You know, what do I choose and being able to make a choosing process, what that means for me. So what would be the next one for you, Aim?
That'll be part of your homework that we want you to consider doing for this coming week. In that choosing section, there's a little exercise. So owning the choosing process. So you're going to pause your routine and take a break. Take a nice deep breath and ask yourself, what are my choices? What path should I walk on? Is there a sign on in this? Do I need to shift to another path? So I think that would be maybe put that on an index card and carry that around with you, and then in your journal, maybe answer that question throughout the week and see what kind of answers come up for you. So I think that'll start changing who you are and how you're functioning. I don't know if, no, that's probably not what I don't really mean it that way. You're not changing who you are. It's helping you to get to who you really are. So I'm going to back mm-hmm. up a little bit into chapter one, Robin, where she talks about mm-hmm. Viktor Frankl and that
oh, yeah.
he...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that he was in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. And, of course, people felt like they had no control over their circumstances. But Viktor Frankl was a psychologist, and he refused to relinquish control over who he really was. And he felt like that he had a choice. And one of my favorite books is In Search of Meaning. And I highly recommend that. I think that's an important read for anybody, about Viktor Frankl, In Search of Meaning, and that even in the worst of situations, you still can make choices and you still can choose your attitude, even though the situation is not a fun one. So they might want to put that on your, and that might be a good thing to pursue. It's not necessarily an easy read, but I think it's something that could really change your life.
Yeah, there's a philosopher's notes that we do sometimes looking at that for the high points of different kinds of book. I'll ask Andy if he can take a look at that and see if there might be something that we could have as a review that we can go ahead and add to transformation-cafe.com and be able to have it as just kind of the crib notes of that, something like that, for, because it definitely be something on there. And if you want to buy the book, we'll make it available in our gift shop as well, being able to connect in that. So, you know, just kind of moving on from that, and again, everybody, really encourage them to be able to be tapping into that and be, you know, take the time to do the exercise. It's really amazing. You're like, oh yeah, I can do that. But really, it's amazing when you do pause and take the time to be able to do that, because it's something just like when we were doing presence with Amy Cuddy. You know, if you do it two or three times, it basically becomes something that your body's familiar with, and you don't necessarily have to do it on an external level. You can do it on an internal level once you've taken the time to be able to actually do it on a physical level for yourself. So it can become really quick, and you're just basically doing it in seconds when you've taken the time to be able to actually do it for yourself, you know, on a physical level. So just being able to encourage you guys to do that. So Anna really talks about, as we bring our choices into balance, then we're amazed at what the results is. And she really talks about that once we start making these positive choices and positive, seeing these positive effects, it's like a domino. Everything just starts moving in that direction. And she says, pretty soon you've got one area of your life that's working really well, and it just seems like everything starts clicking in all the other areas at the same time. So it's about, you know, really knowing that, you know, positivity is contagious. And it's like that, you know, that one of the spiritual laws of like attracts like. So, you know, after a while, you've got all these positive people in your life, and you're looking at everything from a positive thing. And I have a couple friends of mine that, you know, we get together and they'll talk about different things that they have going on. And the other two will take an opportunity just to talk about, wow, that's going to be really great. You know, we just start going into this whole conversation of making it just this positive thing, of just letting it, you know, where is that going and what's it going to look like and how great that is. So it really helps to get the energy going in that direction of having everything looking really well. And not that there won't necessarily be roadblocks or different kinds of situations that come up, but that actually makes it to a place where you can say, well, this is just a little bump in the road. I can move from this and being able to move that forward. It reminds me, there's a movie that's going to be coming out, I think it's in late September or early October, that's called Queen Kula. I think that's the name of it. I'll make sure, I'm going to look that up and let you guys know. It happens in Africa, and it's about this young girl that realizes that she's very good at chess. And what they find is this man is teaching all these kids how to play chess, because he said it's about knowing that you can make a plan, and even when you're done with the game and you don't necessarily win, you can reset the board and start over again. So it's just these lessons. It's very powerful. And it's actually based on a true story. She winds up being the national champion for her country in chess, and goes on to compete in other international competitions and stuff like that. So that's going to be a wonderful thing to be bringing into the holidays with that kind of a message that, you know, we can make a difference, and it's just reset the pieces and let's do it again. Let's have another plan and move forward from that. So I think that's just really, really cool. So anything else with chapter one, Amy, you want to touch on before we go to Life Myth Mysteries?
I think we should dive into the mystery. Let's go.
Okay. Well, you know, Anna talks about, you know, life is mysterious and it creates adventures and new patterns for experience. The one thing I love she talks about too with the mysteries is that it creates an excitement where we're using our creativity to be able to be moving into all these things. And boy, that goes back to all the different books that we've had with Elizabeth Gilbert in Big Magic, and then working with Amy Cuddy with her positivity, with her presence. And just so many ways that we've used creativity, which is these different ways that really can empower us and being able to transform, like we're talking about tonight, transforming thought and then having it be in just different choosing processes that we've got going on with that. But, you know, coming from that mystery, it's just this positive vibe that can come from within ourselves. And, you know, and it's being able to just catch ourselves. She talks about having a situation where, you know, isn't it amazing how we can just take that choice of turning off negativity? You know, there might be something on the TV, I can turn that off. There might be something on the radio, I can turn that off. You know, somebody might be talking, I choose to, you know, find a way of being safe and just getting up and walking away from that. So there's lots of ways that we can be, you know, supporting ourselves and protecting ourselves from just having all those different influences in our life and making it to where we can really be empowered by the choices and stuff that we want to have. And again, by being authentic. So anything else with that, Amy, you want to share?
Well, what comes to me with the mysteries, I think a really, really good example of that, I think mysteries tend to start with a question. And Neil Donald Walsh is a great example of that. His whole life had just fallen apart, and he just got to the point where he just had nothing. And he had a legal size pad of paper, and he started writing questions on just at the top of the page to God. On each page, he'd write a question, and then all of a sudden, these answers started coming that weren't coming from his head. And if you look at it, there was a book that came out of that. I think there was like 3 conversations with God, 1, 2, and 3. And then I don't know how many books he's written, but there's a bunch of them. But it all started from this questions. It was just questions, and he allowed himself to be emptied and let those answers come to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like one of our chapters that we're going to be talking about in the future is why and the magic of why. And that's actually chapter 6 is going to be something that we talk about. And Anna talks about, you know, it's the three little words, three little letters that are so powerfully that impact the entire approach that how we deal with the world with just the word why. So I think that's something to be looking forward to next week. So same thing. It's just being able to ask these questions and knowing that, you know, with that, it really helps us to be coming from a personal relationship of, you know, looking at different things that we have going on and just being able to be inquisitive. Because Elizabeth Gilbert had said that in Big Magic. She said, you know, that the soul loves to be curious. And in being curious, we're really inviting ourselves to just so many other things. It's just like with Mark Nepo when I did my conversation with him, we talked about that, you know, questions are doorways that just lead to deeper understandings of myself and others. And I just, both of those things are just wonderful and magnificent. And just being able to open ourselves to that kind of thing and not think that there's something wrong. I mean, you know, as society, you know, you can think of all the little kids that have asked questions over the years. And after a while, the parents just shut off. They're like, you know, don't ask any more questions.
Why?
And our kids are like, why is this guy blue? And why are my shoes untied? And why do you look weird today? You know, they're always asking those different kinds of questions. So, hey, that's one thing that I've really done, you know, since we did Big Magic and just all these different ones. You know, I really just invite myself to be, you know, inquisitive and like learn about that and just have it be something that can be, you know, delighting my soul when it comes to those different kinds of questions. And it's nice to ask people questions about that too. You know, I'm always running into people and just saying, you know, well, how did you get this? And why did you do that? And, you know, and just making it about, you know, being able to see how they got where they were. You know, it just makes it a really fun process and people appreciate because you're really connecting and listening and learning about yourself and others by, you know, the way people interact with each other and what they've learned about themselves through the journey, which I think is really cool. So, you know, Anna goes on to talk about faith. And she says, one of the most powerful mysteries is faith and how it shows up and how we allow it to unfold. So I'd love to hear what you think about that, Amy.
I think it's having courage, right? To not go with the answers that you already know. You know, we keep solving the problems with the same answers, which never solve the question, right? Mm-hmm. So am I willing to really go into mystery and not know the answer, not go look to try to attach it to something I already know? I think courage is part of that.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I love how she talks about, you know, sometimes it's just allowing ourselves to show up and let it unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we surrender. Yeah, we surrender control. We're surrendering to something bigger than ourselves, knowing that, you know, even with that, you know, we're tethered, and you know, something bigger than us is there holding us and helping us to, you know, to move through whatever we've got going on, knowing we have the faith of that.
Well, she said, every puzzle we encounter, every challenge that calls for our creativity, lets us build a part of our new foundation of self-esteem and self-love as we take ownership of our own actions and solve the mystery. So a lot of times, right, when people say, well, why are you doing that? If you don't have a good answer, they are not comfortable with that. So I find people making up answers for why they're doing things, where a lot of times if you're just following your instincts, right, you don't really know. A major project that I'm part of, we've had to make a major course correction here in this last week. And we're going, well, geez, we had rose-colored glasses when it came to setting this project. And I said, well, thank God we did, because if we didn't, we wouldn't have dove off the cliff. You know, and because we dove off the cliff, we're in a position to make a course correction where we never would have taken this risk at all. So I think part of the challenge is be careful when people are trying to get you to explain yourself. Why are you doing that? Sometimes it's a matter of, I just know this is what I'm supposed to do and I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've had so many situations lately where, you know, that's one thing wonderful about, you know, the work I do, being a florist. And Flowers for You in Riverside, California. Anyway, that
five-star
Yelp. Yeah, that when I'm doing a process of something, I think I know I'm going to be creating something, and then I wind up having what we consider a mistake, or something gets kind of switched over, and that what I didn't necessarily had done, or I hadn't thought about doing it that way before, and it winds up being just so much better. I had some stuff I was creating today, and you know, I was working with it in one way that I normally do, and I kind of gave up on it, and I walked away, and then it dawned on me about being able to do it in a totally different way, which was actually, you know, more creative and more fun and more playful in the way that I put it together. It's because I had some centerpieces for a wedding that I'm putting together. So it just shows that, you know, the status quo isn't necessarily going to be something that serves us. It's going to be something that we can really tap into and have it be something that, it's always those mistakes. I mean, you know, think of how many mistakes that we've had in this world that actually turned into something that were magnificent inventions. Because, you know, they didn't stop and say, oh, gee, that's wrong. It's like, you know, how do I utilize this into thinking in a new way that's inviting me to move past the things that I've already known? What's the mystery of that? And in that mystery, it really holds, you know, significant, you know, new ways of profound thought and perspective that we hadn't allowed ourselves to have before. I think that's just what evolution's all about, you know, just the constant change and yeah, and having the faith to be able to move on that stuff being forward. So Anna goes on to talk about, you know, mysteries are like turning our relationships into dreams and dreams into reality. And she really talks really good about how to open our mysteries of understanding another person when it comes to, you know, you might have a conflict or something that's going on with somebody and being able to put yourself in their own shoes. And once you do that, you know, on any level, when you can say, well, what is it like to be that person, you know, with the different challenges and stuff they may be going through or whatever they have going on in their life, it really helps you to be able to pause, like we're talking about, you know, am I going to react or respond to somebody? And then have it where I can really just be in their shoes for a second, because they only know what they know. And if we can move into a place of being able to embrace, you know, their knowingness, it really helps us to understand ourselves and in our relationship with that person. Instead of thinking, you know, they should be this or they should be that. Those are just our perceptions that we have about ourselves. So, you know, it helps to have that, you know, what she calls it, a balancing scale of having feelings along with our common sense and then living in the mystery and solving puzzles. So it's always that questioning of like, you know, what would it be like for that person? You know, how can I be in their shoes for a second? You know, what would it be like to have all those different things that I had to be dealing with their job and their life and their circumstances? And boy, you know, can I step back for a second and have a sense of compassion and seeking to understand from a place I might have not have known before? So Amy, would you like to share on that?
Yeah, well, for me, just sharing and taking a risk. So here's another homework assignment that we're gonna dive into. Is she talks about dreams and desires becoming our companions as we travel from the present to the future. So here's for me, this is frightening. For you, it's no big deal. But I want to support each of us in, and you could do it a different way if you want, but drawing your dreams and desires on a road trip to the future. And what would that look like? So for me, what terrorizes me is the idea of drawing that. So that's what I'm going to do. I don't know. That really isn't a stretch for you, Robin. So is that what you're going to do, or are you going to do it differently?
I'm going to do it with my non-dominant hand.
All right. That's
cool. If you feel comfortable drawing, do it in a way that's not so comfortable.
Okay.
And really, they've done studies with that, with non-dominant hands and things like that, how it actually taps into a different part of your consciousness, which I think would be interesting. So we'll let you know how that all turns out. So that ought to be pretty fun. So, with that whole exercise. And again, I want to thank Amy for putting these exercises together and really, encourage again you guys to just take a little time to, try these exercises and to see, because I'm sure it will be delightful to just like, wow, I didn't think that that would be a way that I would express that, and have it be something that can come out really to, have the faith of allowing that to be something that you can literally transform and just, just showing up so it can unfold. It's just like we talk about journaling and things like that occasionally on the show. And it's amazing when you just allow yourself to just write and see what comes on the page. Lots of insights and things that you never would have even thought about when you allow yourself to just do some longhand writing. And it's very, therapeutic and, helps with stress and just all different kinds of things. So it's a great thing to be doing for your wellness program. So I just want to touch real quick on next week. We're going to be going through chapters 3 through 7. And boy, they're all jam packed with all kinds of wonderful nuggets. Number 3 is going to be the ABCs of desire. And that's attract, believe, and create. And Anna does a great job of breaking all those down. And it's not what you think. So we always have these books that, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And then we start jumping into it and you're like, that's not what I thought it was at all. So that's really exciting. Number 4 is living in the now of the Doak's desires. And it's the power of vulnerability, being fragile and confident at the same time. And I'm like, boy, that sounds like it's interesting. Like, how could that be? Chapter 5 is your presence and your purpose. And she's bringing in the ABCs and the Doak's and looking at that from our present and our also with our purpose and utilizing all the different formulas to being able to look at that from a totally new perspective. Number 6 is the why. And she calls it the magical. It's that there's 3 letters that are so possible, so powerful that they impact our entire approach to the world. And I'm looking forward to having a little conversation with Amy about that. And then number 7 is the rock of intentions. And it's interesting when she talks about intentions as tension and stress that we deal with when it comes to things like that. And how just that different kind of positive mindset that we were talking about tonight, being able to change our choosing patterns and processes with intentions that can literally change the course of our lives. And in guiding us, and just intentions really can be steering our dreams and our desires into reality. So that's going to be a very, very powerful chapter as well. So all kinds of wonderful topics and things coming up for, this next week. So Amy, anything you'd like to say?
Get out your pens and paper and draw your dreams and desires. Let's see where we go.
Go for it. So we want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. And again, we'll remind everybody all the questions and some of the updates and all that stuff are going to be at the transformation-cafe.com. And we're in the Cafe Book Club, woohoo, with passion, spirit, and purpose. And we look forward to looking at our authenticity. I can't even say being authentic next week when we join you again. So have a great week. We'll see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.